Service of All the Dead by Colin Dexter. Read by Kevin Waitley. Limply, the Reverend Lionel Lawson shook the slim hand of Mrs. Emily Walsh Atkins, and he knew that the pews in the old church behind him were now empty. She was 81 years old, but managed still to retain an enviable agility in both mind and body. Only her eyesight was at last beginning to fail. Mrs. W.A. was a wealthy woman, and each Sunday morning her neatly sealed brown envelope, lightly laid on the collection plate, contained a folded £5 note.
"Thank you for the message, Vicar.
God bless you."
It was purely by chance that after his very first service, Lawson had hit upon those three simple monosyllables, magical words which again this Sunday morning Mrs. Walsh Atkins happily clutched to her bosom along with her Book of Common Prayer as she walked off with her usual sprightly gait towards St. Giles, where her regular taxi driver would be waiting beside the Martyrs' Memorial. The vicar of St. Frideswides drew the long white surplice over his head and turned slowly into the church. Apart from the organist, Mr. Paul Morris, who had now reached the last few bars of what Lawson recognised as some Mozart, Mrs. Brenda Josephs was the only other person left in the main body of the building. Dressed in a sleeveless green summer frock, she sat at the back of the church, a soberly attractive woman in her mid or late 30s. She smiled dutifully as Lawson walked past, and Lawson, in his turn, inclined his sleek head in a casual benediction. On his way to the vestry, Lawson stopped briefly in order to hook a loose hassock into place at the foot of a pew, and as he did so, he heard the door at the side of the organ bang shut. The curtains parted as he reached the vestry, and a gingery-headed, freckle-faced youth almost launched himself into Lawson's arms.
"Steady, boy, what's all the rush?"
"Sorry, sir, I just forgot."
His breathless voice trailed off, his right hand clutching a half-consumed tube of fruit gums.
"I hope you weren't eating those during the sermon."
"No, sir."
"Not that I ought to blame you if you were. I can get a bit boring sometimes, don't you think?"
The pedagogic tone of Lawson's earlier words had softened now, and he laid his hand on the boy's head and ruffled his hair lightly. Peter Morris, the organist's only son, looked up at Lawson with a quietly cautious grin.
"Don't forget the choir outing next Saturday."
"Course not, sir."
And he darted away along the back of the pews. Lawson had not failed to notice Peter's father and Brenda Josephs talking together in animated whispers in the north porch. But Paul Morris had now slipped quietly out of the door after his son, and Brenda, it seemed, had turned her solemn attention to the font. Lawson turned on his heel and entered the vestry. Harry Josephs, the vicar's warden, had almost finished now. After each service, he entered, against the appropriate date, two sets of figures in the church register. First, the number of persons in the congregation, rounded up or down to the nearest five. Second, the sum taken in the offertory, meticulously calculated to the last penny. This morning's takings, sorted by denominations, lay on Lawson's desk in the vestry.
"Another goodly congregation, Harry."
Harry nodded and made his entries.
"Just check the money quickly, if you will, sir. I made it 135 in the congregation, and I make it £57.12 in the collection."
Lawson passed his fingers over the piles of coins. The addition of monies was correct.
"One of these days, Harry, you're going to surprise me and make a mistake."
Joseph's eyes darted sharply to Lawson's face. But the expression there, as the minister put his signature to the right-hand column of the church register, was one of bland benignity. Together, vicar and warden placed the money in an ancient Huntley and Palmer biscuit tin.
"I'll be off then, vicar. The wife'll be waiting."
Lawson nodded and watched his warden go. Yes, Brenda Josephs would be waiting. She had to be. 6 months previously, Harry had been found guilty on a charge of drunken driving, and now faced 1 year's suspension. The small vestry window looked out on the south side of the church, and Lawson sat down at the desk and stared blankly into the graveyard. He both looked and felt a worried man, for the simple truth was that there should have been 2 £5 notes in the collection that morning. Was there just a possibility, though, that Mrs. Walsh Atkins had at last exhausted her store of £5 notes and put 5 separate £1 coins into the collection?